Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
Oh yeah, it is Off the Ropes, April 11th edition, and boy oh boy, we have actually had a watchable Raw. And, you know, I am a little bit shocked about that. I didn't think this Raw was going to really be really much of anything the way that the theme has been. But, you know, overall, it has really reminded me of some of the good old Raws, you know, sans the violence a little bit. Hasn't really had the Attitude Era intensity. But overall, a pretty watchable Raw. You're listening to Off the Ropes, Jason and Chris, Episode 7 here on the 11th. Taking you through the end of Raw, as we always do, with some topics and things as well. Might have some callers calling in today also. So, Jason, how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this Raw. It's quite enjoyable considering the last week's Raw. And I must say, Shane's doing an outstanding job of filling in as GM.
You know, yeah. And it makes me think now, like, you know, he was going to lose at Mania and still be GM. I mean, I would have done the story a little different, but overall, I think that it's going pretty good. I mean, you know, they did the whole predictable, oh, well, this might be my last night, you know, doing this. And, you know,
yeah.
It's not going to, you know, it's not going to be, obviously. It's what the crowd wants. But now, you know, he's actually made some decent matches and anything and everything. So, you know, I think overall, I mean, you start off with a number one contender match between two of arguably the biggest superstars out there right now with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. It's a good way to start off.
Yeah, not to mention that right now we got AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn. And how different would that be if Sami Zayn wins this match and finds himself in the main event for Payback? It's totally different. It's like they're pretty much starting to listen to the fans a little bit.
It's about time. I mean, quite frankly, it's one of those things where it seems like, unfortunately, they've been sort of ignoring the fans' requests for a while, especially trying to shove Roman Reigns down our throat. Now they've officially, at least it looks like, made Roman heel. That's sort of what I see here a little bit. But, you know, hey, who knows the direction that they're going in. You know, they could really go in a bunch of different directions. But overall, I don't know. I don't know what your take is on it. But overall, I know that wrestling right now is starting to lose popularity. And our first topic was something we touched on a little bit yesterday in Satellite Sundays with the whole crew. And that is, does the WWE Network, does it give wrestling fans enough? I mean, I watch WWE Network all the time for the Raw playbacks. They have certain shows that are exclusively on the network, only $9.99 a month. They talk about that, you know, free trial for 1 month if it's your first time signing up. Does this network have any competition with the fans' growing love for UFC?
You know what? Dustin brought up some great points yesterday. And he pretty much was saying that how the roster right now is not benefiting from it. You know, folks like Stone Cold The Rock, Shawn Michaels, they're benefiting from it because younger folks are watching their own matches, but we don't have enough content for the current wrestlers or the up-and-coming wrestlers. So I think it is kind of hurting now after I did my research behind what Dustin was saying yesterday. So I think they are in a little bit of trouble with the growing popularity of UFC, especially, which I completely forgot to bring up yesterday. There's about to be a bidding war between Fox and ESPN for the television rights come next year. So who knows what that budget's going to be once that contract comes through.
Wow, you know, I didn't know that. So basically you're saying that they're leaving the USA Network?
No, they're not wrestling. I'm talking about UFC. UFC is going to be
UFC?
Their contract. UFC is going to be on their contract, their television contract is going to be up next April. And, you know, Fox pretty much controlled that for the last few years, but now ESPN is looking at them like, hey, we need to get a piece of this, just like how we got a piece of WWE now.
Well, my question is here, for me anyway, WWE, yeah, it's planned, it's scripted, it's this and that, but, you know, UFC to me, I don't find the appeal in it. Sure, I'll watch it, but I'm not watching it consistently like I'm watching Raw. Of course, I've been watching Raw pretty much my whole life, but, you know, this thing with UFC, do you feel like perhaps if WWE were to keep on the landslide that they're going, UFC would usurp them in popularity?
They would try. I don't know. It all depends because, you know what, UFC is not really character-driven because, you know, we're, like me and you, we're pretty much glued to UFC now because of cats like Conor McGregor or Daniel Cormier, cats that, you know, pretty much have a personality that we could relate to if they were in WWE. Other than that, you know, Nate Diaz is not – he's no Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I think the WWE has the upper hand when it comes to character building. UFC just needs to develop fighters to compete on a month – to a bi-month basis. So I think WWE is going to be fine in the long run.
Well, do you feel like – UFC could maybe shoulder the load that WWE does? I mean, I don't think that really they'll ever be quite as popular because like we were talking about on Satellite Sundays, they don't fight nearly as much. I mean, they're fighting, you know, they're not a weekly thing. They're monthly. They have one big pay-per-view a month, this and that, but they're not as easily accessible and you can't go back on. I mean, you got to go on YouTube to find clips and even then you might not be able to find all of them. WWE Network lays everything out there in front of you. You can go back and watch stuff from, you know, back when we were still in high school if you want to. You can watch any show you want. I just think that obviously, and I mentioned this yesterday on the show, WWE is a bigger brand. It's a big business. They are a conglomerate, and UFC just doesn't have that.
I totally agree. And you know what's funny, too? Like you say, someone like Brock Lesnar, he has the credentials to be like, hey, you know, I went over there, won your heavyweight title. So, you know, say what you want to say about WWE and wrestling in general being fake or phony. I went over there, I kicked some guys' asses, won your top title. So, you know, right there, the bragging rights alone, WWE is holding some weight.
Now, do you think the network gives wrestling fans enough? Like, I mean, what will keep wrestling fans right now, what will keep them away from switching over the station to UFC right now? Because if they keep putting on Raws the way that they're putting on tonight, sure, they don't have the blood, they don't have the violence, they don't have the, you know, the chair shots and the thumbtacks and the, you know, 2x4 boards covered in barbed wire like they used to back in the day and the, you know, the matches where you have to win by putting somebody in a dumpster and all the old cool attitude era gimmicks. But if they put on pretty solid shows like they've had through these first 2 hours, what will keep wrestling fans, besides programs like this, from switching over to UFC?
I think just better product in general. Like, look at this match right now. I don't think we've ever seen this match. Maybe a year ago we wouldn't have seen this match, where you have two rising indie stars competing on the main stage on the flagship show, Monday Night Raw. And I think the WWE needs to build up SmackDown so it could be equally enjoyable because a lot of folks don't watch SmackDown anymore. And that would help with the legacy.
I don't watch SmackDown. I don't really care about SmackDown. SmackDown's been terrible for years. But right now, wasn't it you that said that you think the other day, I think you sent me a message off the air, that you said that you think SmackDown might be becoming better than Raw?
In quality of matches, yes. I watched a couple of SmackDowns, and the matches were phenomenal. The only problem is the story. There's no storyline as compared to Raw. Raw, you have a general manager there. You have the authority there. Authority never showed up on SmackDown. Not once. You just got quality matches. That's the only thing I would give SmackDown over Raw is in terms of quality bell-to-bell action. But storylines is pretty much all on Raw. They need to find a way to help build that back. I think what we're getting with Shane is leading into the right direction because it seems like Shane is probably going to be the general manager for a while, and then Authority is going to come back, and then they're going to have a whole new feud. And you kind of see it right now because look at AJ Styles and look at Sami Zayn. Those are indie guys. Those are, not traditional what Vince McMahon wants. So I think we're starting to see the, different clash in styles. So I think the summer is really going to be good. I really think the summer is going to be good.
You know, it's possible. And, you mentioned storylines. I remember back in the Attitude Era days when the storylines used to carry over. We used to watch, we used to see what would happen on Raw and then be like, oh, geez, shit's going to hit the fan on SmackDown. And then, they would do something to advance the storyline on SmackDown because the same guys would fight on both. Blah, 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 blah. Stone Cold would be there, Vince McMahon, all the bigger guys. And then, eventually as the years went on, SmackDown sort of took a back seat a little bit to Raw. They wanted to build that brand a little bit. But, back in the day, SmackDown was just as important. And if they can get back to that, that might be – I mean, they tried to do it when they had the general manager of Raw. They had the Teddy Long thing and they had the, this and that. They did the draft. They tried to get back to it. I just don't think – I think UFC people like just for the Raw brutality of it. I think they like it just because it is just – as real as fighting gets. And, Americans have proved it. They love blood and guts. That's just something that they're always going to love.
But wouldn't you argue that UFC wouldn't even be relevant if boxing in general didn't have a big decline?
Perhaps. I mean, boxing isn't what it has been either. I mean, the Floyd Mayweather era is great, don't get me wrong, but it's not Mike Tyson. It's not Sugar Ray Leonard. It's not what it was back in the day. But I think that UFC, it's a prodigal son of boxing. People wanted, they saw boxing, they loved boxing, and they wanted a little bit more. And Dana White did a good job of capitalizing sort of on that bloodlust that the people had and have taken it the next step. And so, I understand it. I just don't think that they'll ever have storylines in UFC. I don't think Dana White likes that. As Dustin commented, Dana White said, that he called it fake as shit before. I think he wants it to be as real as possible, doesn't want to start getting storylines, really wants to build up his guys through promotion and through TV deals. But my question is, does UFC have an edge here? I mean, do they have a little bit of leeway or some sort of an edge over WWE at all?
Maybe the only edge I would give them is that it's real. Other than that, they have no other edge. Dana White is not even on the promotional level as Vince McMahon. Hell, I don't even know if he's on the same level as Shane McMahon, to be honest. So the only thing I give them is that it's real. But in terms
would you ever see guys? Like, for instance, you saw Brock Lesnar, sort of switch over. He sort of came... he came, he saw, he conquered. He did both things. Ronda Rousey, who we saw show up at WrestleMania, I know that there are contracts in place and things like that that don't allow it, but do you think that UFC guys could make the transition to the WWE once their UFC career is over as easily as guys like Ken Shamrock and CM Punk and things like that are able to make the transition over to UFC?
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
I can't see. I just don't think because if take your folks want to say wrestling is, they put in a lot of time training, and just to do a regular move like a hurricanrana. Can you see McGregor trying to learn to do that?
Well, no. I think that their styles would be a little different.
Yeah. But someone like
I think it would be more of a brawling style. That would be more his thing. I would imagine anyway.
But I think the reason like someone like CM Punk and Brock is easy to transition over there is because they have the background. Like, CM Punk had the Muay Thai and the Jiu-Jitsu. He had a well before he became a wrestler. So before he became a professional wrestler, he had that background already.
True. And, you know, we knew that Undertaker had had a big sort of a mixed martial arts background as well. That was sort of his thing that he, you know, he emphasized that and explained that he loved doing that and things. So, you know, who really knows? I definitely think that the, you know, the UFC guys could make a good transition. I mean, they're certainly athletic enough. They've proven that. They're proven that they're athletic. They've proven that they can learn moves. They already know a lot of holds that are, you know, the holds are very similar to some of the holds that we see in wrestling. A lot of the times there are wrestling, I want to say fundamentals per se, in that, like when you get guys on the ground, the technical aspect of it is sort of the same. So, I mean, it's definitely possible, but again, I just don't see it. I just think it's because there's such a rivalry there and such a hatred right now, I don't see them jumping over. Currently, Raw is on commercial. The Sami Zayn match, AJ Styles match, yeah, I like it, but so far it's just not doing it for me. I don't know if this is something you enjoy seeing. You did call it, though. You did call some NXT guys making some noise tonight.
Yep. I just think, and this is why it was hard for me, for anybody to boo Triple H, because Triple H is the lifeblood behind NXT. So just to have him go up against Reigns and Mania was just like, you know, you want Triple H to be the bad guy, but when the real fans know, he's really the good guy because he's the one who kind of convinced Vince to, like, give NXT a chance, you know, give these indie guys a chance. So, you know, that's why I thought they should have changed. They should have really thought about changing Roman Reigns' heel back then. But we are where we are right now, and I think we're going to see more of that throughout the summer. You know, more guys from NXT come up as they keep replenishing their roster. I don't know if you heard, but, like, their Triple H is behind the scenes really trying to get more indie cats coming up down the pipeline. And he's even having a Cruiserweight Championship tournament going on this summer. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, they're bringing the Cruiserweight belt back, which I would like to see. Do you feel that, you know, now that Shane is back, we might sort of maybe start to see some more Attitude Era type storylines? Do you think that, I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to go back to, you know, hitting him in the head with chairs and having the blood and having all the violence, but do you think that perhaps we might start to see the, you know, remember back in the day, they used to build storylines and they used to be weeks and months at a time, and finally they'd come to a head at one of the pay-per-views. Do you think we might start seeing that with some of the storylines now?
I hope so. It's funny you mentioned that. I was just arguing with somebody about the whole Rock and Rikishi storyline, like how long that took to develop. Like when Stone Cold got run over by the car, we were like, who did it? And it almost went to a whole year later to find out it was Rikishi. Like, we missed storylines like that where it took a while to develop and then something came out of it. Now it's like it's week-to-week basis, you know.
Well, it just seems like somebody new is fighting somebody different every week. Yeah, I get your point. The last real big storyline we saw develop was the whole thing with the whole thing with Seth Rollins and how he was sort of the guy, and that, you know, the whole, you know, the Daniel Bryan thing and how he had to conquer the Triple H and, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. Ever since then, though, it's been like somebody new fighting somebody new every week and just really disconnected matches that some of them, in my opinion, don't really make much sense to me. I just don't see any real feuds right now. There's not that hatred there, you know?
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to work on. Just like, you know, even as much as they don't want to say, like, they don't want to turn Roman Reigns heel, but just the fact that they barely show him, even when he won the belt, like, now we barely see him. Like, he's really going to be in the Raw. He didn't come out in the beginning of Raw. He didn't come out in the 9 o'clock hour. Things like that are starting to make me really wonder what they're going to do with that character. Even up to WrestleMania, it seemed like everything was about Dean Ambrose. You know, we had Roadblock. We had him and Brock, him and Triple H. So, you know, just something to keep an eye out.
So, let me ask you this. What is missing in today's game, per se? What is missing in wrestling right now that you really think would maybe put them over the edge and bring them back, per se? Like what elements Are they really missing? What is the final ingredient to put into the cauldron to make this the top brand right now?
I just think the only thing that's really missing is that characters need to be themselves. You know, if Roman Reigns is organic, then maybe he'll get over with the people. If the Wyatts weren't being buried every other week, maybe they would get over with the people. You know, that's the only thing I see missing. Just to know that we just had WrestleMania 32, and that the last time two full-timers were in the main event together was WrestleMania 28, when it was The Miz versus John Cena. That just tells you how much lack there is of building up the roster, where they got to rely on the part-timers all the time.
And, you know, I'm all about part-timers. I'm all about new guys getting their shot. But, you know, to me, it just makes me think that maybe they're starting to give up on, you know, give up on some of these big-time guys. Maybe things are transitioning a little bit. Maybe things are becoming different. We are starting to see a new breed, per se, of wrestling. And, you know, it could be a good thing overall. I mean, it's something that I think, you know, could end up happening. Growing up in the Attitude Era, though, there's a lot that's left out of today's wrestling broadcast. We just mentioned what we think consistency is a big thing. But overall, though, watching this, what do you think really, like if there's one thing you want to see, if you want to watch wrestling and you want to say, you know what, I want this and this and this to happen, what's the main thing that you want to see happen that you think would really put them over?
Maybe, you know, we have, I'm not saying a brand split, but maybe we have, you know, we have Triple H, the Authority have their guys, and we have Shane have his guys, and we just have a good old-fashioned stable bash. Like, if Roman ever Seth Rollins come back, he'll be the key piece to make, maybe form that, you know, that Indies versus what the Authority wants. We need stables again, you know. New Day is, you know, New Day is doing their own thing. The Wyatts are doing their own thing. And that's it. The Social Outcast is a joke, but I get what they're doing being a stable. I would say maybe stables, you know, maybe let's have gang warfare back. At least that. I mean, I know it's PG era, but at least let's get some gang warfare back.
And a tag team that could perhaps be as popular and be as good as the, you know, as the New Age Outlaws were.
They were great. Look at New Age Outlaws. Look how DX organically formed together. That's what's missing right now. You had Shawn, you had Triple H, and then all of a sudden they paired up with the New Age Outlaws, and then that just skyrocketed from there. I think that's what's missing with today's product.
I mean, definitely, I'm trying to do both here. I'm trying to listen to this and talk at the same time, Bob, but they keep fluctuating in volume. Now, as much as I'm fiending for some old school style wrestling, as much as I'm fiending for the old guys really to come back, and I'll admit I was marking out hard when Stone Cold and Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels came out at WrestleMania, but are you getting sick of guys like Jericho? I mean, he's been around forever, and for years he didn't do anything. Now all of a sudden he's thrown right back into the big storyline again. Part of me wants to see these guys. Part of me wants to see the old Attitude Era come back. But part of me is also getting sick of these guys, sticking their noses in stuff too. I'm getting used to the young guys now. And you got guys like Jericho, who can barely move anymore in the ring, thrust back into the main event again. It's a little annoying. I don't know what your take is.
It's annoying, but one good thing about Jericho is he's a phenomenal heel, and they need heels right now. So I see where he's serving a purpose right now. Who knows, he'll probably disappear soon, as he always seems to do when he goes on tour. But that also goes back to a lack of character development. That's the problem with the whole WWE. They got to invest more time with their own, with the in-house, instead of bringing back all these part-timers all the time.
So you like heel Jericho better than Raw is Jericho, my Jericho-holic sins, you know, what he was when he first came over from WCW? You enjoy the bad guy Jericho a little bit better?
Like, I really enjoyed that feud he had with CM Punk at WrestleMania. the way he brought up, you know, the whole the drinking and the abusive father and all those things. Those are great for a PG era. Those are great attitude era kind of stuff. So,
broke the beer bottle over his head. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jericho is one of those guys that could walk that line. You know who will be a great heel also? Dean Ambrose, but they'll never do it because he's so over with his players right now.
Yeah, they couldn't. I couldn't see that making him a heel. Just like I said, yeah, he's so over, and he's one of those guys that no matter what he does, he can't lose. I mean, he was he was getting cheers losing at WrestleMania. I mean, you know, I think he's the only guy when they tried to put Roman Reigns over. And it ended up being Suplex City and the crowd chanting Suplex City and the crowd chanting for the heel in Brock Lesnar. That sort of, you know, that would never happen with Dean. Dean was the only one who was able to stop the Suplex City chant to get the crowd behind him over Brock Lesnar, who really the WWE, I know for a fact, does not want Lesnar over. I mean, they don't want a guy who has that kind of contract over. They want their main guys over. And right now, oh, speak of the devil. Here he is, Dean Ambrose.
Speak of the devil.
And Ambrose coming out carrying flowers in a box. So, but this is what I'm talking about, though. What beef, what feud does he have with Jericho? I mean, why is he coming out here? That's my thing. Like, in the Attitude Era, you wouldn't – you know, yeah, there was a lot of random stuff that happened, but really it all tied together. This makes absolutely no sense to me. Why the hell is he out here?
But you know what, Chris? It would make sense to me if he would bring up the fact that when they had that WWE special at the Garden a couple months ago where they were a tag team with Roman Reigns, Jericho walked out on them, but they still won the match. Now, if they brought that up as a payback, as I owe you for that, then it would make sense. But knowing them right now, they probably won't bring it up. I'm curious to see if they bring it up.
And for those of you who are watching and those of you who have been paying attention to overtime.news, we are going to be having some sponsors. Teller's Mattress is going to be jumping on Skidmore Basketball as well as Hooks It Snowplow Repair. So a lot of sponsors and things. We are going to be changing up Satellite Sundays a little bit. We're going to be making that more of a ESPN style FM talk show format. This show is really going to sort of be, you know, left alone. It's going to be the 90 minutes. It's going to be the talking. We are going to do some reads and have some commercials here and there. But for the most part, it is going to be more podcast form. That's usually, I think that's what works best with wrestling. But right now I'm looking at this and Dean Ambrose, I mean, he's so entertaining. He really is. And for those of you who happen to be watching Raw as well, Dean Ambrose is really, he makes it fun again. You know what I'm saying? He brings out your inner kid.
Look, he just put on a tie. When's the last time you seen anybody put on a tie with a hoodie? Unbelievable.
I seen a homeless guy down here in Tampa the other day do that. Now, this Ambrose Asylum thing, was that a name that he was given, was that a self-given name or no?
I'm not too sure. I wouldn't put it past him to give himself that name.
I think it was one of those names that was given to him. The announcers just started saying it. I think he ran with it. This is the first time I've really, you know, the first time I've really heard him acknowledge it, though. And also, what do you feel about the main event with, you know, one of the Wyatts, Bray Wyatt, I believe it is, teaming with Roman Reigns here? I mean, again, that's another one that really doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Are they trying to push the Wyatts to be in a face? I don't know.
Well, the Wyatts,
again, you know who they're going against, the team that I just love to hate.
Oh, well, yeah. The what are they?
The League of Nations.
You love the League of Nations.
They're minus an Englishman.
Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
You know why that is though? They made it seem like they kicked out the weakest link. Wade Barrett's contract expires in June, and rumor has it that he's not going to renew it, and he's not going to be around.
Oh, I guess he's had the TNA.
Well, TNA, yeah.
I don't blame him, though.
TNA, I thought TNA, sorry, I was having mic issues there. I thought TNA was pretty much dead, though, for all intents and purposes.
Oh, it's on life support, you know. I don't know if you watch it much of it. I watch here and there, but I don't know if you remember Drew Galloway. Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre. I don't know if you remember him.
Briefly, name sounds vaguely familiar.
The Irishman, he used to call himself the Chosen One. He's actually their heavyweight champion now. He was a former two-time Intercontinental Champion here, but now he's on the bigger and better things at TNA. But, of course, he's fighting the likes of Matt and Jeff Hardy, who aren't what they used to be, and things like that. Oh, look at this. So I guess we have a new feud in the works.
Which, okay.
He puts back on the tie.
Interesting to me. See, this whole Ambrose thing to me, yeah, he's unpredictable, which I love, but again, I also like things to make sense. I mean, call me a traditionalist. Really doesn't make much sense to me. By the way, if there is a little bit of an echo, I do apologize. I'm on a computer microphone right now. I couldn't bring my full setup down here to Tampa, so if there is an echo, I do apologize. I'm trying to put it on mute when you're talking. But sometimes I'm doing other things as well. I'm looking up stats. So if there is a tad bit of an echo, I do apologize to the listeners. But, wow, okay. Well, again, doesn't make sense, but I'll take it. Now, with Shane, okay, if Shane takes over Raw, okay, what elements of the Attitude Era do you think he'll bring back, if any?
Maybe just the unpredictability part of the Attitude Era, because there's really not much you can do. They don't really want the blood, and they don't really want the chair shots to the head. So maybe it's just, you know, just expect unexpected. Maybe that's the secret element that he'll bring back. Unlike with Authority and Vince, we knew what we was getting all the time.
Do you think he'll have some of the silly, you know, out there kind of storylines that they had? Because, I mean, they had some stuff that was, you know, kind of made you go, wow. You know, they went there. Do you think that may happen?
Nah, I doubt they go back to those days. Only because of, you know, they're a traded company, and they got to keep it somewhat respectable.
And see, to me, it doesn't get as exciting without all that stuff. You know, I mean,
You know what? I thought about it. If you look at the network, they could do that on the network. Because I don't know if you realize, like the new cartoon they keep advertising, Camp WWE, they make sure to say, hey, it's an adult animated series.
Okay. They could do that. Well, I think starting at 8 o'clock, I know it's been this way for a while now, so it's probably beating a dead horse at this point, but do you like the 3-hour format?
I don't like it because there's a lot to go on in 3 hours. I feel like the 3-hour format hurts SmackDown because SmackDown's only 2 hours and there's really no storylines on SmackDown. It's pretty much, you know, a continuation of Raw. For that case, we could just have a 2-hour Raw and a 2-hour SmackDown and be done with it.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I see it. I can see it. You know, in a way, I don't know. To me, I don't know. I like it, but I also don't like it. You know, I just feel like they went to prime time for the kids. But to me, there's too much talking in between matches, you know?
That's the problem. And then you got stars like Brock you barely see. You got stars, you know, we don't know what's going on with Triple H. We don't know what's going on with Stephanie. I'm pretty sure we probably won't see them until after the next pay-per-view, so that means we're going to go, like, almost a month in between with no explanation, you know? Because the thing about this, Shane's the one who jumped and fell off the cage, but yet we see him back up on the feet the next night on Raw. Triple H lost from a spear, and we haven't seen him in 2 weeks.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Do you think guys like Austin Aries and things like that come over from TNA? Because that would really make things interesting. Even Cowboy James Storm, guys like that?
Well, the thing is, with knowing Vince, he's keeping them in NXT first. Like, Aries beat Corbin at an NXT TakeOver. So Aries is here. Bobby Roode, who I'm a big fan of Bobby Roode, and Land James Storm, Beer Money, they're down and up in NXT. So it's going to take a while. Like, someone like Samoa Joe, he would be perfect for Brock Lesnar. Two monsters, two agile wrestlers that can move, that know moves. It would be great. It would be a great match. I don't know if WWE is thinking long-term with that kind of development for a possible SummerSlam match, but that would be awesome. They got to do something in the 3 hours that's in less talking and more action.
What is the holdup bringing these guys over from NXT? I mean, they're big-name guys. It's not like they're rookies. These are guys pretty much any wrestling fan knows at this point.
Yes, I understand. Same thing even with their champ, Finn Balor. I assumed that he was going to lose to Samoa Joe and bring him up the next night, but they went a total different direction, bringing up Apollo Crews and Corbin up instead of him. I was really shocked by that. But I guess they have plans. I guess they have plans in store for us, I hope.
Now, I know Dustin teased it a little bit on Satellite Sundays and for what he hopes for, but do you think we'll ever hear this again in WWE? Do you think we'll ever see CM Punk back? I know Dustin thought maybe there was a chance, and it would be like the ultimate Attitude Era storyline if this whole thing was just a ruse. But I don't think it was a ruse. The way he went out and totally just slammed them on Coco Cabana's podcast, do you really think that would happen there?
I mean, normally I would say never say never when it comes to Vince. I never thought Hogan would come back. I never thought Brett would have came back. You know, people come back, people get angry, they come back. However, the better question is, would it be wise to bring CM Punk back? Let's say he looks totally awful in his first UFC fight. Bringing him back then would look, it'll be a black eye on wrestling, because it'll be like, oh, he couldn't hack it in UFC. He just took his ball and ran back to WWE. So credibly wise, it wouldn't be that great. But let's say he wins, then anyway, all bets are off. If you want to come back, he can come back. But if he looks bad in that first fight, it'd be bad.
What do you think looks worse, though? A guy going to UFC and not looking good and coming back, or a guy who was pretty successful not looking good in UFC, like Ken Shamrock, for instance? When Ken Shamrock got there, I thought, man, he was sort of that mixed martial arts kind of guy in WWE, and he was, you know, he was the master assassin and this and that. All of a sudden, he's in UFC and his ass kicked left and right. That can't look good for him either. So, I mean, which one do you think looks worse?
Oh, you know what? It would have to be Shamrock, because he always built himself up to be that ass-kicking machine. CM Punk never did that, so it would definitely be Shamrock. But, yeah, you're right. I remember that he did take a beating. Oh, he looked bad in Bellator a couple months ago, too.
Well, he's old now, though.
Yeah.
You know,
but like you said,
even back then. Yeah, true. I don't know. I mean, now CM Punk, again, this goes to show you how little I follow UFC when maybe I should. Who is he fighting in his first match? Is that out there yet or no?
It's I can't remember his last name. I forgot his last name, but they're supposed to fight. It hasn't been announced when they're supposed to fight, because they've been pushed back twice now, but it's definitely going to be this summer. And he's been on the contract with UFC since the late 2014. They haven't made his first fight yet, so that's something to keep an eye on, too.
Hmm. Okay. Now, whatever happened to this guy? I mean, I can still hear the crowd chanting, "You suck, you suck," in between the whole thing there. Kurt Angle has sort of fallen off the face of the earth. Do you think maybe he comes back in an administrative role or something a little bit?
I think he's going to come back. I totally 100% believe he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame next year. He just retired from TNA, and word on the street was he wanted to come back to WWE, but Triple H and Vince wanted him to work a full-time schedule, and he just was not about to do that workload. He kind of wanted something. They wanted him to come back like a Jericho role, pretty much on both shows all the time, and he didn't want that. He wanted something like a Brock deal, and they didn't meet, but I'm pretty sure they're still talking again, and that could probably happen. He could probably come back as a part-timer, but he's definitely going to come back and maybe in a Legends role and get inducted in the Hall of Fame real soon, especially since now that he's done with TNA. So we can see Angle come back. I can see that happening.
Did you like TNA?
I used to like TNA when AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and even Jeff Jarrett, when they were running it, I liked it a lot. But the product now, I don't really like it much. And the last piece of what I used to watch is, if you're not familiar with that tag team, it's Bobby Roode and James Storm. And they were pretty much the Attitude Era version of the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn for TNA. But now that they're gone, I don't really have anything to really watch over there, to be honest with you.
I always thought that the women looked better in TNA, to be honest with you. I always thought, like, the Beautiful People, Madison Rayne, and they were always hotter than WWE Divas.
Yeah, by far. But a lot of them, you know, like Gail Kim is over there. She used to be over here. What's her name? James. She's over there, too.
Mickie James.
Mickie James is over there. Still looking hot, but she's over there. But other than that, yeah, I would say the Divas division, that's it. But they come on something weird. I don't even know what network they come on. I catch their clips on YouTube.
Last I saw was Destination USA. That was the last I saw, which is a station I don't even think most cable package carrier have. I remember Impact Wrestling was on Spike for a while, but that was short-lived.
Yeah, Spike pretty much all in on Bellator, which is like UFC's main competition, and that's not really saying much.
No, not at this point, I don't think. I mean, I know that there are UFC diehards out there, but I don't necessarily think that that is a big thing. Now, Titus O'Neil just won a match here. He's a big fella. That wasn't Titus O'Neil. It looked like it from here, but I'm again sitting about 20 feet from the television. Apollo, sorry. It looked like him from here, taller, bald, black guy, but I'm sitting kind of far from the TV. This guy's got an opportunity beating up on this Al Snow lookalike. He's got some potential in here too. But the reason I mentioned Titus O'Neil was whatever happened to him, he grabbed Vince's arm and then, you know, got suspended or something. He was another tag team guy that sort of never really materialized, and I think he could have been something.
Well, I believe his suspension should be up by now. It was only a 2-month suspension, and that happened a while ago. But we'll see what happens there.
So let's see what's going on here. The main event is up next. So it just goes to show you that something might happen here. I mean, they've been starting the main event here on Raw. They've been doing it
early.
Shit, they've been starting it at 11, right around 11. Now they're starting at 20 minutes early. Leads me to believe something might be happening here. I don't know. This is interesting how this is going to pan out. Not necessarily the match I would want to see. I would want to see over back in the Attitude Era when the belt, WWE title belt, was defended on Raw almost every night. This is kind of one of those matches that, to me, I don't really care about this main event. I don't know.
Maybe they're setting something up. If not, then it's pretty much going to be a time killer.
Which they don't need. They need quality matches right now. They don't just need time killers.
That's right.
I don't know.
They got 3 hours to kill.
I mean, and a reduced, you know, roster talent too. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm anxious to see what's going to happen here. I'm also anxious to see possibly if Roman Reigns does something heelish, because, I mean, he's probably the tamest heel. He really is, that I've ever seen.
Well, that's, I guess it's all part of his gimmick, what they're trying to do with him.
We're going to see. We're going to have to see. I am having a mic issue, so give me one sec. I'm going to throw on a little clip here. I've got to get this figured out. I will be right back.
Run! To my standing arm! Oh, my God!
I think I got it figured out now. Basically, what's happened is I have this issue on my computer where I don't have my full setup, like I told you. And my computer has been doing this where I can hear you talking through my headphones, but you're also coming through my computer. And because it's the computer, the internal built-in computer microphone, every time that I'm not muted, it hears an echo, I guess, for the listeners, as I had said before. And I just had a listener, you know, tell me the echo was getting pretty bad. So we may have somebody, Dustin or somebody, jump in and work the board here and mute me when I'm not talking. But if not, I'm going to try to be a little bit more diligent about it. But, you know, we'll see. Even if we only got to go, you know, till 11 tonight, that might even work for us here. But one more quick thing, and I want you to elaborate. The Wyatt family, are they salvageable at this point? I mean, they lose every pay-per-view match. They're not really they're really, you want to talk about time killers, really, to me, the Wyatts are a time killer. They can do so much with this stable. And you mentioned you want to see more stables. You want to see more guerrilla warfare type things. What could they possibly do now to salvage this name? Because the crowd's still behind them. Everyone still lights up the phones and everything, but they just don't seem to be relevant with anything that they do with this group.
They remind me of a combination of Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. What I mean, like, they're just so left-wing, they don't care about authority. That's where WWE dropped the ball with them. They should have been the anti-authority figures. They should have been kind of like, you know, another version of The Shield, where they were just going after authority and bringing, you know, that Undertaker gloomy essence. I still think they're salvageable. It just got to be the right storyline for them. Maybe they'll be the ones that go against Roman Reigns or the new authority when they get back or something. I don't know, but they're definitely salvageable.
Do you think that guys like Bray Wyatt can still be propelled into the main storyline? Or at this point, Is he, you know, pretty much stuck hiding behind the other guys right now?
No, he's not stuck. I just think they just need to give him something to work with. I mean, he pretty much, Mike-wise, he's, what, number one, top one, two between him, Kevin Owens, as heels. He just needs something to work with. They haven't really given him much to work with. Like, the whole
he's
Brock
another heel that the crowd loves, though. He's a heel that the crowd loves. I mean, right now, the Wyatts are on. They have their little weird entrance thing that they're doing, and I guarantee you're going to see cell phone lights lit up left and right.
See, as we speak about Bray, he's here cutting a promo. They really dropped the ball with Bray.
I love his promo.
They,
he's a good
they
talker.
They really dropped the ball with him. He's really good.
And you see all the lights. Now, when you were at the event at the Barclays, what's it like to be a part of that, to be one of the Fireflies, per se? Is that a surreal thing when they come out?
It's a beautiful thing to see.
Do you think he gets the same kind of crowd support that some of the bigger names got back in the Attitude Era?
Yeah, because, I mean, what heel is going to get? Look at all the lights. What heel is getting that back then?
Heel-wise, nobody I can really think of. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of heels that the crowd loved. And, I mean, well, back then, the way that they wrote it, the way that they made it, it was just – like you hated the heels and you loved the faces, and they were characters you could relate to, and they were guys that you lived and died by and you were emotionally invested in. I don't think you can get emotionally invested in anybody they got right now.
Nope, not at all. This is kind of interesting. He's coming to the ring by himself.
Well, I mean, that sort of sets up a run-in later, don't you think, though?
True, but for who, though? For Reigns or for the League of Chatty Patties?
What did you call them?
Chatty Patties. I couldn't think of anything else to call them. I just think they talk so much. They just talk so much and about nothing.
Oh, my gosh. That is true. I actually never thought of it that way, but that is actually pretty true. Wow. That's good. That's really good. Well, let me think of it this way. Do you think that we have a twist that comes in and not a run-in by either group, but something that's completely, you know, that you wouldn't predict or foresee or even have coming?
I don't know, because I don't know if Shane is pretty much going to be that general manager. Everything seemed to be sticking to his script. Like, we haven't had any really big surprises. We just had, you know, nuanced kind of matches. Because I don't think I've ever seen Bray and Roman tagging before. That's a first. So I think they're probably sticking to that script.
I mean, again, it doesn't make sense to me if it's something that could perhaps maybe materialize. Because remember how we talked about a little bit of a Shield and Wyatt's not necessarily collusion, but a rivalry. Maybe if this could end up being an alliance between these two, that would be a pretty unstoppable force, you'd have to think.
That would be good. But I don't think they don't have the foresight for that.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think if we were in charge of creative WWE, we would have it rocking and rolling. But again, that's why we're doing this and not doing that, I guess.
Yeah, if I was running it, Shane would be doing a lot more than jumping off a 20-foot cage. That might have been jumping off that cage.
Something. Well, I mean, that's something he's been doing for years. It's something that everybody knew he was going to do, something that everybody saw coming a mile away, and something that basically was expected. I mean, if he didn't do that, I think people would have been disappointed because he's been doing that his whole career. So, you know, I don't know. I really think that, you know, Shane McMahon, bringing the Shane McMahon thing back, yeah, it helped them. It saved them a little bit. But, you know, we haven't seen the Authority since then. We haven't seen Triple H and Stephanie since then. I thought that this was going to set up sort of a sibling rivalry of sorts between these two. And, you know, they're sort of back home licking their wounds in a way. And now, you know, looking at it, maybe now they don't know what to do. Now that they have Shane back and now that the, you know, the crowd is so behind them and that, you know, the crowd is so behind Shane, they don't know what to do with them now. I think that they had a game plan and now all of a sudden they're back to square one and scrambling again. Because the crowd doesn't want to see Stephanie and Shane, even if it is going to be one of those sibling rivalry type things. They just want to see Shane. They don't care about anybody else.
I think they're going to come back. They're going to come back strong, and there's probably going to be you know, one of the dangling chip was probably going to be Roman Reigns. Maybe he finally aligns himself with Triple H after this and feels like Shane's out to screw him, giving him matches against someone like AJ Styles and things like that. I really think the buildup is for the summer now. You know, after WrestleMania, it's the hard reset, and we'd have to forget about what everything before Mania, and now we got to think about the buildup for the summer.
Now, what do you think about a possible AJ Styles and Roman Reigns feud?
I think it's going to be interesting feud in terms of different styles of matches. Like, Roman Reigns is not the technical wrestler that AJ is, but at the same time, it's probably going to be that bridge until we get back Rollins. You know what I mean? I think that's where the payoff's going to be.
You're the guy. You do a lot of the research. You do a lot of your homework. When can we expect to see Seth Rollins back? We've already saw Cena, but we haven't seen him since Mania. But when can we see Rollins back, you think?
I think we're going to see him anywhere between Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank, which should be anywhere between end of May, early June. No later than June, because he's definitely wrestling at SummerSlam. So between May and June, you're going to see him back.
What about Cena? I mean, we saw him at WrestleMania. I haven't seen him since.
Well, Cena's not scheduled back until June, so just seeing him at WrestleMania was a gamble. But, you know, him Cena being a trooper, he wanted to be a part of Mania, so that's why he was there doing a little light work. But I'll definitely say June, July, you'll see Cena back. You'll probably see Randy Orton back before both of them, though. I think he's scheduled to be back in May, so be on the lookout for the Viper.
And, you know, I love the whole Randy Orton thing with the RKO coming out of nowhere and this and that. It's amazing. And you know, I just found out May 20th, WWE is going to be in my hometown, Albany, New York, so I'm going to be sort of switching roles with you. I'm going to be calling in live from the event. And you're
nice.
Going to be watching it on your television, and Dustin will be working the board, or somebody will be working the board, because I won't be able to, you know, do any of that from where I'm sitting. But definitely excited to see it. I wasn't going to go. I told myself I wasn't going to go to another event, but now I'm a little, you know, we started doing the show, and now I'm a little, you know, all right, I'm invested in it again. I'm interested in it again. And, you know, the last event I went to live was, I believe I was at a Raw in Albany after this, but the last, I guess, event that I remember that really resonated with me was New Year's Revolution after the Elimination Chamber when Edge cashed in the first ever Money in the Bank and won the belt. That was in my hometown.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. If they're ever in your neighborhood, you should definitely check it out. It's a great product to see live, and you'll see what I was telling you about. What I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, when you see the kids leaving early, because maybe because Raw is a little too long. The amount of kids I saw leaving Philly, not compared to New York, because New York, you know, we don't sleep. But in Philly, a lot of kids were checking out at 10 o'clock.
Very true, very true. So, I mean, I don't know. I just, this match doesn't do it for me. I see the League of Nations coming out here. I don't know. Here it is, 10:59. They really wasted that 20 minutes with commercials and stupid things, backstage interviews. I really don't know what's going to happen here. This is just a boring, plain, vanilla main event for me.
Come on, bro. Just grab him and give him a Sister Abigail and call it a night. That would be awesome. Well, of course, you knew you were going to get this. You're going to get the whole, I want to be the man. I'm going to be out there first. You go in the back from both of these guys.
Now, was Bray Wyatt, again, this is probably me and a lack of research and a lack of homework here, but wasn't Bray Wyatt somebody else before he was in the Wyatts? He was a different character earlier in his career, right?
Yeah, oh man, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's actually a former tag team champion. Him and, I forgot his name too. But, yeah, he was part of that whole Nexus clique.
He was part of Nexus?
Yeah, he was part of that second wave of Nexus. Not the original wave with Bryan and Wade Barrett and stuff like that. He was that second wave.
Okay, yeah, because you were usually on Encyclopedia. You usually know that stuff. So Here it is, the Nexus right here. Let me let me pull this bad boy up here. He was Husky Harris.
Yes. And I'm not sure if you know that. Of course, you know he's the IRS's son. He's Mike Rotunda's son, Erwin Arcista.
Did not know that, actually.
Yeah, him and Bo Dallas. Their brothers.
I didn't know that there was any relation there. Now looking at them, I can see their face actually kind of looks similar, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they never did a storyline there. But, both sons of the – I guess he's a Hall of Famer, Mike Rotunda. Earn our Shyster.
Very true. Very true. Wow. Well, I didn't know he was brothers with Bo Dallas. I don't know whether to feel bad for him or to say that's cool.
Speaking of the Wyatts, you must admit, the last time they were interesting was when Daniel Bryan was a member of the Wyatts for maybe all but a month and a half. Remember when he came out with the suit and everything?
I do, actually, yes.
That might have been the last time they were really relevant, which is sad because on the mic, Bray is great, and those goons, they should be doing a lot more than what they're doing.
We had mentioned, we had teased earlier about a possible sort of like a Ministry of Darkness type of thing with these guys.
Wouldn't mind that. Something different.
But it's
all for different.
I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about it, honestly. I mean, I kind of want the Wyatts to do something, but in a way, I'm kind of over them now.
Yeah, you're over them already?
I think so, yeah.
Whatever the Wyatts do, they're definitely not as bad as the League of Nations. I'll say that much.
Yeah, what's your beef with this? I know you've mentioned it before, but why do you hate these guys so much? They're all top-tier superstars.
That's the thing. They should all be doing other things. Del Rio came out here with the nice cars, and he had his own mic man, and now he's with Sheamus and Rusev. Rusev should be with Lana. Sheamus should be just out here kicking ass, being a hired gun. And if I was writing the WWE storylines, it would be in so much better shape.
I think it would for both of us. I really do. Looking at this now, though, this match, I mean, it's very unathletic, too. It's just not an overly appealing match.
But again, it goes back to Shane, the whole idea of a hot tag, including Bray and Roman. That's just something I never thought I'd see.
I don't know. Bray and Roman, I kind of like it. It's something new. It's kind of something that that I guess people didn't necessarily predict or necessarily foresee. But, League of Nations, you talk about the Wyatts not being good, at least in terms of losing matches here and there and things like that. Why, to me, does the League of Nations have a bunch of top-tier guys? And they haven't really done shit either since they formed. I mean, they're kind of like a waste of space at this point. Someone said they have no idea. Creative has no idea what to do with these four guys. Has no idea what storylines to do. Ever since Sheamus lost the title, he's been part of this League of Nations, and League of Nations has really kind of been a space waster as well.
It all goes back to that 3 hours to fill. That's all it is. They're just trying to fill up time.
But is that a good business move? Is that a good business strategy at this point when they have so little to work with?
It's really not, but I mean, it's the only option they got. Well, maybe they'll pull one off their ass again, like how they bought out Shane. Maybe they'll pull something out long term, but this is pretty much what we got.
I mean, it's 11:04. I have a feeling something's going to happen, but I also have a feeling that something's not. I mean, it's going to be a pretty vanilla main event, and I mean, due to mic issues, we're going to cut off. We're not going to go the extra 20 minutes. We're going to cut off right after Raw ends for this show. And then, again, next week, everything will be back to normal again. We'll have the normal mics, and we'll have everything will sound good again, starting next Monday, as well as our sponsors and things like that, which are already locked in. So don't worry about that. But I'm looking at this match, and it's like the action is good, the action is cool, but it's kind of sluggish. I mean, I'm sitting here watching this, like, I'm not glued to the television, I'm not, you know, not able to think of things to say because I'm so into this match. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, all right, they didn't have anybody else, so here it goes. You know, the biggest stars in the game right now, wrestling at a, you know, tag team that makes no sense. It doesn't matter to me. And also, why would he choose Del Rio in this sense? Why wouldn't he choose? Because of, here's the thing, with the banter back and forth between Roman Reigns, who's gotten better on the mic, actually, to be honest with you, in the last couple of weeks. But for Roman Reigns to say, you know, when Rusev said, you know, I should be the face of WWE, and Roman Reigns said, no, you're the ass of the WWE, why did he not have Rusev come out? Why Alberto Del Rio? It's just, you know, to me, it's just like, it's willy-nilly just kind of throwing stuff together. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like they're making matches on the fly. You know, it really is.
You didn't notice that how the last two Raws and WrestleMania, it all went downhill once Roman got involved. Like, the main event, him just ending it, is just something people just do not care about.
Oh, I know. It sucks.
Poor Bray. He looks like, oh, I don't look like I belong here. I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, now
he's making a great face. Please turn the Wyatt's face, please.
Well, yeah, but why would they be faced? I mean, as creepy as they are, I don't think their whole thing was designed to be heel. And, you know, I mean, obviously, yeah, that's failed. But what could you possibly do with them as faces? They're just creepy guys.
I guess they'll be like more like a Mick Foley, maybe.
Yeah, but
just
you don't want to go.
If Mick had a fable.
Well, you mean the Union?
That'd be awesome.
If Mick had a Union, you mean, not when. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but Mick Foley was goofy. I mean, yeah, he had Cactus Jack that was intense. He had Cactus Jack that was intense, but he had Dude Love, which I hated. I thought that was goofy. Mankind was just a whiny bitch. So, you know, Mick Foley's another guy to me that seemed like he was like the lovable loser, you know, like he's a Hall of Famer and everyone loved him, but, and I know he had a huge career from the early 90s through about 96, 97, but during the Attitude Era in its prime, he lost more than he won. Now, I know that he's the only guy that has the kind of win-loss record over The Undertaker, a better one than anybody else, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, if they turn him into a Mick Foley type of thing, I think that might sort of put a damper on the Wyatts, because I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. I'm so dumbfounded with the decision making of creative. That actually might be something that I would embrace at this point, just for something different. It's been so wild and crazy so far.
True. But it all goes back to, you know, what else they're gonna do? What's the alternative?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It really does. Well, that was cool. Threw him into the stairs a little bit. That was.
Oh, Rusev with the kick, the backstabber, maybe. Oh.
No, oh, well, of course, Wyatt kicks out. Now, League of Nations. You know, I don't know who could. Oh. Winning this match is... Oh, the lights went out.
There you go.
I told you it's going to be a run, and there would have had to have been. What the hell else can they do in this kind of a match? I mean, it's kind of subpar talent.
So it looks like we're definitely getting a League versus the Wyatts if he's going on.
I don't know how I feel about that. And it looks like this match is going to end in DQ. So, again, another uneventful ending. Oh, no, maybe they're not going to DQ him. Maybe they're not going to DQ him. It's going to be Wyatt.
This is weird.
There it is. So maybe we'll see something here. I don't know. this could be one of those things. This could be a pretty deadly alliance if these two end up actually working well together.
This is interesting.
What a twist that would be if Roman did that whole, you know, well, not Roman, if the Wyatts did the whole anything but you Roman thing, and now they end up working with him or end up aligning with him. That might be a cool little plot twist that, I mean, hey, it's better than anything else they've done lately.
But, you know, they'll be afraid to do that.
Yeah,
they
I don't know.
Like that.
It goes off with those two looking at each other. Yeah, it's a cliffhanger for next week. I love cliffhangers for next week. It always makes it more interesting. And speaking of cliffhangers for next week, I do apologize. I've had the mic issues. I'm using a computer mic, this and that. Normally, this is the time when Dustin calls in and we talk a little bit about Vogue, a little bit about this and that. Next week, we'll be back in the regular mics. We'll have our sponsors. We're going to cut it a little bit short this week. Got about 18 minutes left, but I'm going to cut it off here just because I know the listeners are having trouble with my echo. I don't know if it's Dustin or if it's everybody, but I got a couple messages. So I'm going to cut it here. So speaking of cliffhangers for next week, this will do it for this week. And again, I do apologize for it, but thank you for your support. We have double-digit listeners live tonight. Chat box is going up pretty well. There's a lot of questions and things. We'll address that next week. Feel free to send us an email. Feel free to check out the website. And feel free to check out pretty much anything that has to do with overtime.news. And once again, thank you very much for joining us. And we do apologize for the audio issues. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
Always finish last.
What's that?